Hey there guys, it's Little Man here and welcome to Little Man's Review Podcast. And on this episode, we'll be looking at the NBA semifinal playoffs in the East and the Western Conferences. So stay tuned, enjoy. So the NBA playoff semifinals are currently ongoing in the East and in the Western Conferences. We have four teams left in both conferences. You have the Bucks and the Nets and the Heat and the 76ers in the East, while in the West you have Dallas, you have Phoenix Suns, you have Golden State, and you have the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, this entire semifinal series has been very, very interesting. We've seen four games so far, and I will tell you, if after you watched game one, you had your predictions on who would come out in the East or who would qualify for the finals in the East or in the West, and one thing I can say is this semifinals has just been mind-blowing. I think we've seen different turn of results. We've seen different games. We've seen some teams step up. We've seen, I can say, superstar performances from superstar players in the NBA. And I'll start with in the East. And the first game I'll be looking at in the East, is between the Bucks and the Celtics. Now, the Bucks and the Celtics had a very, very interesting start to the series. Now, the Bucks were put up against Chicago Bulls, who were one of the finest performers towards the ending of last season. And in that series, they won that one 4-1. No stress. Even without Chris Middleton, Giannis averaged at least 30 points per game. Now, the Celtics were teamed up against the Brooklyn Nets. And the Brooklyn Nets are an interesting team. They have this man, Kevin Durant, who at this particular moment, to some people, he is actually the best player in the league. And I would say they are right. And then there's also Kyrie Irving, a very, very interesting player, the player with the best handles. And then you also throw in players like Seth Curry, the younger brother of Stephen Curry, the best shooter. You know that kind of player too also will be very, very dangerous from 3 points. And then the Celtics swept through the Nets, 4-0. Jason Tatum averaged 30 points per game. It was fantastic. You look at Marcus Smart, he was excellent. You look at Jaylen Brown too, it was exciting. The Celtics showed us a different side of their team, and we were excited because this is a young Celtics team. This is a team that has been together for quite a long period of time. So when they were paired up with the Bucks, it was already going to be an exciting series. When I knew they were going to be playing each other, I said, most likely this series might actually be a 6 or 7 series game. Who would win? I would choose the Bucks to win because they are currently the champions of the NBA. They have a 2-time MVP player in Giannis, and the Celtics just looked like a young side. So after watching 4 games or after seeing 4 games, the tale is different. And this is what I'm here to talk about. Now, in game one, it was 101-86. The Bucks won that game surprisingly. The Boston team said they were not ready for the physicality of the Milwaukee Bucks. And the interesting thing about that statement was this was a Celtics team that were physical against Brooklyn Nets. So a lot of people thought that, okay, yes, these Boston guys are ready to be physical in the league. But in game one, it was the Bucks that were actually more physical and were the ones that were very, very exciting. You had Jrue Holiday, who had 25 points. Jason Tatum, who was not firing on all cylinders the way he was in the game against the Brooklyn Nets, he had 21 points. But the man who stole the show that night was Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had 24 points, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists. And that was in Boston. That was what made that performance very, very exciting. It was in Boston, and Giannis just took the show and they won game one. Now, game two, I thought, well, it was going to be a much more difficult game for the Bucks because Boston said that they attacked the game or they approached the game in a different way. They said they were not ready for the physicality. So they were coming into game two prepared. And in game two, boy, did they turn up the heat. They won that game 109-86. That was the first time they had limited Giannis in back-to-back games to under 30 points in the playoffs in a while. Because every time Giannis gets to the playoff, that is when he always averages 30 points per series. I mean, in the Bulls game, in the last four games, he averaged 30. So in this series, the Boston Celtics already limited Giannis into averaging 30 points in 2 games. And after that, I was like, okay, this series is actually going to be very, very interesting. Because at that particular point, it was 1-1. The Celtics won that game 109-86. Now, Giannis had 28 points. He had 9 rebounds. He had 9 assists. But the Boston Celtics, they had these two brothers, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Now, those two guys, they turned up the heat. Jason Tatum had 29 points, 3 rebounds, and 8 assists. While Jaylen Brown had 30 points, 5 rebounds, and 6 assists. Now, those two guys have been fantastic throughout the playoff season. And if Boston want to really go far, they need those two guys playing the same way. Now, in Game 3, they had to head down to Milwaukee. The first two games were played in Boston, so in Game 3, they had to head down to Milwaukee. The third game was actually very close, but the Bucks won that one, 103 to 101. And in that game, Giannis tore up everywhere. He had 42 points, 12 rebounds, and 8 assists. That was very fantastic. It was just one of those games where you knew it was Giannis that took the Bucks through. It was Giannis that pushed the Bucks through. Well, for the Boston Celtics, it was not a fantastic night for Jason Tatum. He still put up his own share of the game. But you look at Jaylen Brown, he averaged 27 points. He had 12 rebounds. And also, there's a player, Al Horford, an OG in that team. He's not really popular in the NBA since, but in this series, he has been very vital. And in that game, he had 22 points and 16 rebounds. And they lost by just 2 points. So you know that going into Game 4, it will be very dicey for the Bucks. And then in Game 4, what happened? That game ended 116 to 108. Boston won. And now the series is tied 2-2. And in that night, Giannis had 34 points, 18 rebounds, and 5 assists. While you look at the Boston Celtics, Al Horford, like I mentioned before, who had 22 points, 16 rebounds in the last game, he had 30 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists. Now, where this fourth game got exciting was, at some particular point in the game, Giannis had a dunk on Horford, and then he gave him this glance. Like, he nodded and he gave him the glance like, yes, I just dunked on you, bro. So what are you going to do? And Horford's reaction to that was, he shook his head. Was like, no. And then his sister went online and tweeted that this was where she knew that Giannis misbehaved and that he was about to turn up his game. And he turned it up. He had 30 points that night, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists. And that was the first time in over 100 playoff games that Horford had 30 points. And I think it was a night where they needed a performance like that to take the victory at Milwaukee, heading back to Boston. Now, Jason Tatum also put on a very superstar kind of performance. He had 30 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 assists. And that was very fantastic. And I think for the Boston Celtics in this series, they've shown that they're actually a very mature team. Like, they've grown over the years. At some particular point, they had Kyrie, but he was not just working out for them. Kyrie also complained about the team. But now this Boston team, they are looking very mature. And for Milwaukee Bucks, I feel really sad that this man is not around, Chris Middleton. He has been out since the second game against in the first round against the Chicago Bulls, and his absence is really showing, because when you look at the Boston Celtics, they need two players to actually put in fantastic performance before they can outshine or even beat the Milwaukee Bucks. But at this particular moment, Giannis is the only one that can do it for the Bucks. They have fantastic players in Brook Lopez, they have fantastic players in Bobby Portis. You look at Pat Connaughton, you look at Serge Ibaka, you look at Drew Holiday. They have fantastic players, but those guys have to play more than what they are doing. They have to put in more than what they are doing. I think Drew Holiday has to show that more responsibility, because he looks like the next best thing to Chris Middleton, and he has not really aided Giannis enough. But when you look at a team like Boston Celtics, you look at Marcus Smart, he has been fantastic. You look at Derrick White, he has put in some performances here or there, and the Boston just look like a very okay and disciplined squad. And this series, to me, I think it will head into 7, and it will be very difficult for Milwaukee. I think it's going to be a very tough test for Giannis. If he can pull through in this series, it's now going to be even a tougher assignment. Would he be able to go through Philadelphia or the Miami Heat? And now that is the next team I will look after this. Okay, now, so moving on to the second group of teams that are vying for the final spot in the Eastern Conference semifinals. That is the Miami Heat, who defeated the Atlanta Hawks in a series of 4-1. It was a series where Jimmy Butler was dominant and very fantastic. I felt very sad for Trae Young, although he's not looking like Ja Morant at this particular moment. But then again, when you are asked to play against the number one in the East, I think it will be very difficult for you to go through. And then Philadelphia 76ers, who went up against the Toronto Raptors. Now, the Toronto Raptors, while they had this man, Kawhi Leonard, there, they were the one that ended Joel Embiid's opportunity of going into NBA Finals. And that night was that fantastic shot where Kawhi just threw the ball and bounced on the rim. And then he bent down, and he and Kawhi, they were already out of the court, and they were leaning in to see if the ball will enter. And then as the ball entered, the buzzer sounded, and Toronto Raptors were through to the next round, and Philly were out. And Joel Embiid cried his eyes out that night. It was a very painful stuff. So I think for him, it was revenge, and he was the driving force or the driving catalyst into them getting to the semifinals at this particular moment. He was fantastic in that series, although he ended that series with an injury, and a lot of people were wondering why he was still playing Game 5. After everyone knew Philly were through to the next round, and they actually blamed Doc Rivers for that. And now in this series, when the series started, it was now obvious that Philly truly needed Joel Embiid if they wanted to get into the finals, because it showed that James Harden could not do it alone. In the first two games, it was all Heat. The Heat won 106-92. Tyler Hero was fantastic in that game. He had 25 points. You look at Tobias Harris. He was also good for the Phillies. He had 27 points and 6 rebounds. Now, this is where I felt James Harden would have turned up without Joel Embiid. Because in this first game, I needed James Harden to show that, okay, I'm that kind of player that can get to a triple-double. I'm that kind of player that can get to a double-double. I'm that kind of player that can score 30 points in a game, because James Harden has shown that he can do it. But in this game, he didn't really put his presence on the floor. And it was Tobias Harris that had to carry the weight, but it was not enough. They lost that game 106-92. You look at Bam Adebayo for the Miami Heat. It was fantastic on that game. He had 24 points and 12 rebounds. And this first game was without Joel Embiid. Now, you look at the second game. It was a not-so-good game for Philly, still without Embiid. They lost that game 119-103. And Bam Adebayo was fantastic on that night. He finished with the most points for Miami Heat. He had 23 points. Tyrese Maxey, the young girl. You know, I said earlier that James Harden was supposed to impose himself in this series, but in the first two games, he was a no-show. I mean, Tyrese Maxey was the best player for Philly on that night in game two. He had 34 points. For a young star to be outshining someone like James Harden, for me, I was a little bit, I was disappointed in James Harden in the first two series. But they were without Joel Embiid. And then going into Philly, also in that game two, if I go to game three, in game two, Jimmy Butler had 22 points and 12 assists. Butler was cooking. He was getting warmed up for the playoffs. Now, going into the third game, it was in Philly, and then there were reports that Joel Embiid would be available. That already would change the way people looked at that series, because after game two, where Joel Embiid did not play any of those two, and then we saw how Philly played, I was like, Joel Embiid does not play in any of these games. It's going to be 4-0 sweeping. Miami will just beat these people two games at home and then move to the finals. But then there were rumors that Joel Embiid will play, and the favor started shifting, or the pendulum started shifting, because I think there is so much Joel Embiid brings on the defensive and offensive ends of things. He's a force reckoned with. A lot of people said if Joel Embiid was able to play at least 60 games per season, because he's always out injured, he always has this injury here or there, so Joel Embiid is never fit for the regular season. So if he could play at least 60 games in the regular season, he may actually be the best player in the league. But because of his injuries, he's not very available. Now, when they said Joel Embiid would be available, I thought he would not really play so much, and I thought it would not have an effect on the game, but boy was I wrong. In game three, it was 99-79. That result was shocking to me when I saw it. I saw 99-79. I was like, what? Are you serious? Like, Philly held Miami to 79 points. That was wild for me. And when you look at the players that turned up for Philly, it was Danny Green and Tyrese Maxey. Now, those two guys had 21 points each. Brings me to James Harden again. In this third game, I was still expecting something from James Harden at least. Embiid is back. Show up. Turn up. Let us know that you are a superstar in the NBA. You get it? But to me, it was still a no-show. And then you look at the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler had 33 points, 9 rebounds, but that was not enough. I think players like Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, you look at Kyle Lowry is out of this series, so it's sad for Miami. But Victor Oladipo has to up his game. He has to put in more effort. Now, to me, the best player on that night to me was Joel Embiid. I mean, he only played, was it 18 minutes? And then he averaged a double-double. He had 18 points and 11 rebounds. And I was like, that was game three. It was now Heat 2, Philadelphia 1. And then I had this conversation with one of my guys, and it was like, Shebi, I told you that Joel Embiid's presence would give Philly the win. But I was like, but who do you think will win game four? And we both said the Heat, because we felt, okay, let's give Philly one game at least. You get? Then in game four. Game four was very, very interesting. Now, this is why game four was very, very interesting, was because Jimmy Butler averaged 40 points and 6 assists. Joel Embiid had 24 points and 11 rebounds. Now, that game ended 116-108. And the player for Philly that turned up the most was James Harden. I think James Harden just wanted to shut me up. On that night, he had 31 points and 6 assists. He was fantastic. He was the reason. I think it was his performance that pushed Miami to the edge and gave Philly the win. Because if James Harden did not have this night, I think it would have been Heat 3, Philly 1. But James Harden had that kind of night where he guaranteed you 30 points, and it was just what they needed. Now, going into game Game 5, which is going to be in Miami, I think players like James Harden have to perform more. They have to keep, he has to keep, from now, he has to average 30 points, at least, if Philly want to get to the next one. He has to average 30 points. Youngsters like Tyrese Maxey, look at Tobias Harris, look at Danny Green, Charles Bassey, Isaiah Joe, DeAndre Jordan, the big man, they all have to put in fantastic performances, coupled with the fact that Embiid is back. They should not play in a way that they are putting pressure on Joel Embiid because he's just coming back from an injury. They should try and keep him fit for the finals, because if Philly gets to the finals and Joel Embiid is not fully fit, whoever they meet in the finals, whether it is Boston or Milwaukee, it is going to be a very, very tough game for them. And when you look at the hits, Tyler Hero, Victor Oladipo, Bam Adebayo, PJ Tucker, Duncan Robinson, Gil Vincent, all these players, they all have to match up with what Jimmy Butler is doing. I mean, Jimmy Butler is getting hot. And I think in Miami, Philly is going to hear it. At Miami, Philly is going to hear it. Jimmy Butler is already is warming up. In Game 3 and Game 4, he had 33 points and 40 points. I think in Game 5, he might go for 30 points too. 30 plus points. Even 44. They're about 44, 30, 45 points. He might go there. Well, I think after Game 5, you would hear another review. So you would know if I was correct or not. So yeah, so that's the review of the Heat versus Philly. I think it's an exciting series. It might also go down to Game 7, because at this particular moment, Joel Embiid is back. Philly will not have it. Philly will not have a walk in the park. Only if Joel Embiid gets injured in Game 5. That's when I can say, okay, to end in Game 6. But I think this series will go to 7. Same thing with the Boston and the Bucks series. We'll go to 7. And the Eastern Conference semifinals is going to be very, very interesting, judging by what I've seen from those four teams so far. So that is that on the Eastern Conference finals. Now I'll be moving over to the... So yeah, the Western Conference semifinals, we have four teams. You have Golden State, you have the Memphis Grizzlies, you have the Phoenix Suns, and the Dallas Mavericks. Now, I'll be starting with the Golden State Warriors versus the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, the Memphis Grizzlies, interesting team, very, very fantastic side. You look at the players they have in their roster. You have Ja Morant, you have Steven Adams, the OG, you have Dillon Brooks, you have Desmond Bane, you have Kyle Anderson, you have Jaren Jackson Jr., there's Tyrus Jones, there's Brandon Clark, Zaire Williamson. I think they're a very interesting side, a very young team, and that is the reason why they are currently 3-1 down in this playoffs, because they are an inexperienced side. I think out of all the old teams that are currently in the playoffs, in the semifinals of the playoffs at this particular moment, they are the most inexperienced side combined. I think if they were to play, if they were to go up against any of the teams, whether it was in the East or in the West, the Memphis Grizzlies would most likely lose that series. And then when you look at who they are paired up against, Golden State Warriors, they boast of players like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Jordan Poole, Andre Iguodala, Andrew Wiggins, and Gary Payton II. You have James Wiseman, you have, who is currently injured, you have Jonathan Kuminga, the man from Africa. There's also Kevon Looney, Otto Porter, Juan Toscano Anderson. The name goes on. Golden State is a much more star-studded team than Memphis. At Memphis, you only have Ja Morant. That's like the only star, superstar player there. And this series is currently 3-1. Golden State had to defeat Denver Nuggets 4-1 to qualify for the second round, while Memphis had it tougher with the Minnesota Timberwolves, who had Karl Anthony Towns, they had Anthony Edwards, they had Patrick Beverley. But Memphis came through 4-3. It was a difficult run for Ja Morant, but he was able to pull through. Now, in the first game, it was a very, very close one, but the Golden State won. It was 117-116. They won by just 1 point. Now, Ja Morant had the opportunity to win that game for Memphis, and it was necessary. Like, Memphis really, really needed to win game one, because like I said earlier, they are the inexperienced side. So, losing game one just gave the Warriors confidence. Gave the Warriors confidence that, okay, we can actually beat these guys. But the interesting thing about game one was the reason why the Golden State won in terms of point scoring was not because of Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. Those are the names you would expect. It was because of Jordan Poole. Now, that young man was very, very fantastic on that night. He had 31 points, 8 rebounds, and 9 assists. And despite the fact that Klay and Steph had a terrible shooting night, they were able to put in some fantastic plays defensively. I mean, it was because of Klay Thompson defending Ja Morant. That was why he was unable to make that final play that would have given Memphis the victory in game one. But Ja had a very, very fantastic night. He and Jaren Jackson, I mean, they both had, Ja had 34 points, 9 rebounds, and 10 assists, while Jackson had 33 points, 10 rebounds. I mean, those two guys were very fantastic. And going into game two, they needed to put on a performance like that. Like, they needed to be fantastic. They needed to be spotless. They needed to make sure that they didn't make errors like they did in game one. And in game two, they became a little bit more physical. It was in game two issue that this young man, Dylan Brooks, got ejected. He was unable to play game three because of a foul on Gary Payton II. And that foul ended Gary Payton's, I think, semifinal playoff season. I think they said he might be available for either the Western Conference final or the NBA finals itself. That is, if he can recover quickly. But on that night, Ja Morant was fantastic. He had 47 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. He was superb on that night, and it was because of this kind of performance. I mean, when you drop 47 points, and you are still a young star, to me, Ja proved he was the most improved player in that night. Like, he showed that, okay, what I was doing last season, I've upped my game this season, and it was fantastic that night. Steph Curry had 27 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists, but that night was not just a good night for Golden State, and Memphis stole the victory. It was 1-1. Now, going into game 3, they were now coming to Oracle. They're going to Golden State House. And it was in this game you knew that the Warriors would most definitely win this series. I mean, Memphis lost by 30 points, even though Ja Morant had 34 points and 7 assists, they still lost by a whooping 30 points. The scoreline was 142-112. Steph Curry had 30 points and 6 assists. I think the Warriors just showed that night that they could turn it up. Klay Thompson hit some big shots. Jordan Poole hit some big shots. Draymond Green was fantastic in the defense. The whole setup, the whole team just came together and they delivered that kind of performance. That night, they just showed that they were once champions of the NBA before. In the fourth game, it was almost the same thing, but this one was a little bit closer than the third game, which was a blowout. And the interesting thing about this fourth game was that Ja Morant did not play, but the Golden State Warriors were only able to score 101, and the Memphis Grizzlies scored 98 points. So it was just a game of three points, like 3 points just separated them. So it was a very close game. You get Curry had 32 points, Jaren Jackson had 21 points, Tyrus Jones had 19 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. Ja Morant did not play because he missed it due to injury. And it was just one of those nights where the Warriors were just saving their energy for Game 5. It seems to me the Warriors want to win this in Game 5. They don't want this thing to drag further and go into Game 6. And I think for Memphis, if they have to win this series, they have to play the same way they played in Game 2. But they should not be too dirty, you get? Because one of the plays that happened got Dylan Brooks ejected because he went too rough on an opponent. So I think for Memphis, they have their work cut out for them. I feel the Warriors want to end this in 5. But if it doesn't happen there, then this game will just end in Game 6. I don't see this game going into 7 series. I think this is a 5-6 series game for me. And I see the Warriors winning 4-1 or 4-2. But it has been interesting. I think Ja Morant has proven to the NBA that he's going to be a superstar. If he keeps playing this way, he might most definitely win an MVP one day. Now, the last game, the last series in the Western Conference semifinals is between Dallas Mavericks and the Phoenix Suns. Now, the Dallas Mavericks had to go through the Utah Jazz to get to this round, and the Phoenix Suns defeated the New Orleans Pelicans to get into the semifinals. It was a series where we knew that the Mavericks and the Suns would make it to the semifinals, but which team would come out tops was one thing that I did not really know, because I know even though Dallas look shorthanded in the fact that there is no other superstar in Dallas aside Luka Doncic, Phoenix Suns sometimes they look shaky in the sense that if Chris Paul or Devin Booker were to have a very, very bad game, you can actually beat Phoenix Suns. That's how Phoenix Suns are. And in the first game, Phoenix Suns came out firing. I mean, they won that game 121-114. But interesting, in that particular game, this young man, Luka Doncic, he had 45 points in that game. He had 12 rebounds and he had 8 assists. But Phoenix Suns still won. Like I said, I think Dallas Mavericks are a little bit shorthanded. Luka is the only superstar there. Look at the other players they have. They have Jalen Brunson, there's Spencer Dinwiddie, there's Boban. Yeah, that man. There's Josh Green, there's Reggie Bullock, there's Sterling Brown, Maxi Kaiba, the man from Germany. So you look at that squad, there's no superstar anymore aside Luka Doncic. So the Mavs are a little bit shorthanded, and that first game just showed it. Now in the second game, it was still the Suns. They were playing at home. They were playing in Phoenix. They won that game 124-109. Devin Booker turned up the heat. He had 30 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists. Now in game 1, he had 23 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. So he turned up the heat. He actually played better in game 2. And the Suns won that, even though Doncic had 35 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists. Like I said before, Dallas are a little bit shorthanded. I feel if they had a different superstar, if they had another superstar, it would have been much more difficult for Phoenix Suns. It's almost the same thing with when you look at Golden State versus Denver Nuggets. I think the fact that Jamal Murray missed that series made it easy for Golden State to just go over the Denver Nuggets. Now, game 3, they had moved back to Dallas. I think most Phoenix Suns fans would have thought that, well, Game 3 would almost be the same thing as Game 1 and 2. But the reason why I didn't feel so was because the amount of points Luka was averaging in Phoenix was too much for me. I think he had 45 and 35. That's a lot. He had 80 points in the first two games. That's a lot for one player. Now, in Game 3, the Phoenix Suns were unable to win that game. They lost 103 to 94. Now, that night, a different player decided to outscore It's a different player decided to outscore Luka Doncic. And it was Jalen Brunson. He had 28 points. But still, Doncic still had 26 points, 13 rebounds, and 9 assists. Now, this is why I feel this series will be very, very tricky for the Phoenix Suns. Because of games like this, you get. When a not-so-popular name in the Dallas Mavericks decides to have a fantastic game and decides to drop 20 points, 20-plus points, and Luka just compliments that person's performance, the Mavericks will most definitely win. And you look at the Phoenix Suns. It was on that day, Jay Crowder was the person with the highest points. Chris Paul was unable to finish that game. Jay Crowder, he had 19 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. DeAndre Ayton had a double-double. He had 16 points and 11 rebounds. That's why I feel this series will be tricky for them, because if Chris Paul or, like I said earlier, if Chris Paul or Devin Booker were to have a very, very bad game, I feel the Suns will suffer, because where else are the points going to come from? If it's not coming from Devin Booker, or it's not coming from Chris Paul, who is going to give the Phoenix Suns 30 points? I know DeAndre Ayton can give you 25 some days, but he doesn't do it regularly. Now, in game four, I wanted to see a different Phoenix Suns. I wanted Devin Booker to actually perform very, very well in game four, because I think his game three performance was why the Suns lost that game. Now, in game four, Booker had a very, very fantastic performance. He had 35 points, 4 rebounds, and 7 assists, but his facilitator in Chris Paul did not have a fantastic game, and that affected them. Well, then again, you can see home court advantage played a very, very good role for Dallas Mavericks. They won that game 111 to 101. Luka Doncic had 26 points, 7 rebounds, and 11 assists. One thing is, Doncic has averaged a double-double in this series in 3 games. So Doncic is actually cooking. He's a very, very fantastic player. I feel in this series, like I was saying in game 4, Doncic had 26 points, 7 rebounds, and 11 assists. And then one other player, Finway Smith, he also had 24 points and 8 rebounds. As I said, if one of these Mavericks players just decides to have a 20-plus point game, Luka will most definitely compliment and push Dallas through. But for the Phoenix Suns, if Chris Paul has a terrible game and Devin Booker has a terrible game, they have a very difficult to win that game. Now, this game 5 will be in Phoenix. So for Phoenix, they have to perform better. Chris Paul needs to make sure his game is better. But this series, I see it going down to the wire, game 7 or probably game 6, depending on who wins game 5. Now, if Dallas were to win game 5, I feel they win it in game 6. If Phoenix were to win it in game 5, I feel it will go down to game 7, because I just see Dallas winning out home. So for Phoenix, it's going to be a very difficult series now, when a lot of people thought it would be difficult for Dallas. Well, I think this NBA semifinals has been very, very interesting. I don't know who would go through between the Bucks and Boston. I don't know who would go through between the Heat and Philadelphia. I don't know who will go through between Mavericks and Suns. And then we already know Golden State actually to the next round. So that's the NBA semifinals playoff. 4 games played. There's remaining 5, 6, 7. How long will this series get? I don't know. But whenever the series finishes, or whenever the games finishes, I'll be here to give you guys more review on the NBA. So yes, this brings to an end the first episode, Little Man's Review Podcast. So thank you for listening. I do hope to see you guys in the comment section. So yes, thank you very, very much, and see you guys again. Hey there, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode of Little Man's Review Podcast. I hope you do like, I hope you do subscribe to the podcast, and I look forward to creating more episodes for you, the listeners. And if you are listening to this, please make sure you tell your friend to also subscribe and listen to the podcast. Thank you very much, and see you again some other time.